Welcome to Hot Topics on GraceNetRadio.com. Hot Topics is a ministry of gospel on the go from Croatia with the U.S. support team at Lighthouse of Life Church in South Florida. Each week, join Dr. Andrew Vuksic and his guests in Croatia as they discuss the hot topics of the day dealing with theology, culture, and more, all relevant to Christians worldwide. The opinions expressed on the program are those of the hosts and guests and not necessarily those of GraceNet Radio. Now from Croatia, your host of Hot Topics, Andrew Vuksic on GraceNetRadio.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Hot Topics, where, as you can see on the screen behind me, today we're going to be talking about the fear of the Lord. Now, why is this a hot topic today? Unfortunately, many churches teach that once you're saved, you know, you no longer have to fear the Lord. Once you're saved, you know, God pretty much exists to please you, to bless you, to make you healthy, wealthy, and prosperous. God exists to fulfill your desires. And there are churches out there that teach that as a Christian, if you have the fear of the Lord, then basically they say you're probably not a Christian. Now, we've got to be very careful with that. And we need to be able to discuss various different passages of Scripture where we see this idea of fearing the Lord. And hopefully we're going to be able to come to a clear understanding. If you have your Bibles, go with me, please, to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, starting in verse 15, Paul, talking to the Christians in the church in Rome, he said to them, "You have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons, by which we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God." Your attention, please. Scripture here declares that as a born-again believer, God the Holy Spirit who regenerated you, God the Holy Spirit who gave you the gift of faith to be able to repent of your sins and to be able to place your faith and trust in Christ alone, God the Holy Spirit not only has regenerated you, but God the Holy Spirit lives in you. This is called the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit leads you towards holiness. The Holy Spirit transforms you more and more into the image and likeness of Christ. The Holy Spirit illumines your mind to the truth that the Holy Spirit inspired in the pages of Scripture. The Holy Spirit is your comforter. He is your teacher. He is the one who counsels you. He is the one who teaches you the truths in Scripture. And as this passage here says, as a born-again believer, we don't have the spirit of slavery in us, leading to fear again. What does that mean? Scripture is clear that when we come into this world, we come into this world physically alive, but spiritually dead to God. Why? Because we've inherited a sin nature from Adam and Eve. And Scripture declares that we are in bondage to our sin nature. Whatever our sin nature tells us to do, we do. We're dead to God. We're hostile towards God. We want nothing to do with God. We want to satisfy self. That's what the sin nature leads us to do. Well, as people who are outside the family of God, as people who are in bondage to slavery, we are slaves of our sin nature. We obviously have a fear. The Bible talks about how God has put eternity on every human heart. You can read Ecclesiastes chapter 3 to see that. Bible talks about how God has written his law on every human heart and that God has given every human a conscience. our conscience either accuses us that we are falling short of obeying the written law in our hearts, or our conscience excuses us, telling us that we are obeying. You can read Romans chapter 2 to see that. So every human, non-believers, every human, non-believers and believers, has eternity written on their heart. They also have God's law written on their hearts. And every human has a conscience. And as a result, though people may claim to be atheist, i.e. they don't believe in the existence of God, guess what? They do. Because God has put eternity on every human heart, and God has put his law on every human heart. Great example of that is, why is it that even non-believers don't just go out and kill people? Well, they know it's wrong. Well, how do they know it's wrong? God has put his law in the human heart. Even non-believers know, you know, the difference between right and wrong, though they don't often submit to what they know. But nevertheless, everybody knows that God exists. Everybody knows that we're going to live forever. We're going to live throughout eternity. And everybody knows that not only God exists, but that God is a judge, the judge. And as a result, people who are in bondage to their sin nature live in fear. Yes, they're hostile towards God. Yes, they hate God. Why? Because they can't stand the thought of an authoritative God who has the audacity to judge their lives. But even though they're hostile to God, even though they hate God, even though they want nothing to do with God, they know that God is the judge. Again, they will try to suppress that truth. They'll try to ignore it and deny it. But boy, I have sat with many people on their deathbeds, people who wanted nothing to do with God their entire lives. But boy, it's there where the rubber meets the road. I can't tell you how many of these people showed their true colors, their fear of what's coming next. And praise God, I've been able to, during those moments, share the good news of salvation through Christ. And by God's grace, there were some, have been some, who actually repented of their sins and trusted in Christ, just like that thief on the cross right before they died. The point is that as a non-believer, again, a non-believer has a fear of the Lord. But it's not reverence, it's not awe. Rather, it's that fear, kind of like looking at God as the Godfather, right? I know that was the case with me. To me, God was the Godfather. He just wants to punish me, and, you know, he wants to judge me, and that was it. But as Scripture here says, as a born-again believer, you've not received the spirit of slavery. When Christ sets you free, you're free indeed. Free from what? Free from sinning? No, we still have a sin nature, but you're no longer in bondage to your sin nature. God, the Holy Spirit, lives inside of you. Now you can say no to your sin nature and yes to the Holy Spirit. And you no longer have a spirit of fear. No longer do you look at God as the Godfather, but rather, because the Holy Spirit, as we continue to read in you, he allows you to cry out to God, Abba, Father. This is what our Lord, when he prayed to his Father, he called him. This is a term of endearment, of intimacy. No longer do we fear God's judgment, God's wrath, as we once did. Again, even though we try to suppress that truth and deny it. No, we no longer fear God's wrath because we understand that God's wrath was appeased, satisfied in Christ at the cross. Where our sins were placed on Christ, God's wrath was poured out on Christ. Christ declared, it is finished, paid in full. He died, but 3 days later, he rose in victory, paying for our sins in full in terms of that day of judgment. We have forgiveness of sins through Christ. We have the free gift of eternal life through Christ. Again, God the Holy Spirit has regenerated us, given us that gift of faith to be able to repent and to place our faith and trust in Christ alone. And God the Holy Spirit lives in us. And God the Holy Spirit, as we continue to read, testifies, verse 16, with our spirit that we are children of God. We don't fear God's wrath anymore because we understand Christ appeased, satisfied God's wrath. God is no longer the God Father in our eyes. He is our loving Abba Father. So we don't fear the Lord the way we did as non-believers. Again, that fear was not awe and reverence. That fear was not submission to God and his authority. No, that fear was hatred, it was hostility, and it was anger. But as born-again believers, again, we no longer have the spirit of slavery that leads to fear again. We have received the spirit of adoption as sons. We cry out, Abba, Father. And the Holy Spirit himself in us testifies, bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Do you see it? So as born-again believers, we don't fear the Lord in terms of fearing his wrath on Judgment Day. But Philippians chapter 2. As born-again believers who are in the process of sanctification, Philippians chapter 2, we read that we are to Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. We are to work out our salvation. Not work for our salvation. We know we're saved by grace alone, through faith alone, and Christ alone, right? But once you are saved, Paul here was writing to Christians in the church in Philippi that he had founded during his second missionary journey. And Paul says to them, work out your salvation. Now you're saved. Now you're in the process of sanctification, becoming more and more Christ-like, right? Paul says, work out your salvation. How? With what? Fear and trembling. Not fear as though, again, God is the Godfather. Not fear that you're worried about God's eternal wrath. No. This fear is awe. It is reverence. It is a holy, healthy fear. Yes, God is our Abba Father. But listen, dear ones, he is not your buddy that you can talk slang with, that you can, you know, have coarse joking with, that you can pick and choose if you feel like obeying him or not obeying him. Whoa. And this is the problem in the modern church. People say, okay, we no longer have the spirit of slavery that leads to fear. God is our Abba Father. That means that, you know, like an earthly father, God, our Abba Father, exists to please us. No, friends. We exist to please him, and your greatest pleasure you will ever have as a Christian is submitting to him and in the power of the Spirit seeking to please him, because the result is you find joy, peace, contentment. And in our process of sanctification, we're not fearing the Lord for his eternal wrath. Again, Christ already satisfied that, appeased that, and we praise him for that. We have a healthy, holy fear of the Lord. He is the transcendent, holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty. He is the sovereign one, the majestic one, the omniscient one, the omnipotent one, the omnipresent one. He is other than us. He is infinite in his purity and perfection. He is infinite in his being of perfection. As born-again believers, the Holy Spirit who lives in us, yes, testifies that we are children of God, but the Holy Spirit will never lead us to treat God in a cavalier and flippant way. No, the Holy Spirit will lead us to higher worship, higher reverence, higher awe. And in this process of sanctification, we have a role to play. In our process of salvation, we had no role. Salvation is monergistic. It is God alone, His grace alone, right? But once you're saved, you have a role, Christian, in your process of sanctification. What is that role? Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Live your life in submissive reverence to God. Live your life seeking to obey the will of God as revealed in the Word of God and all for the glory of God. And anybody who calls themselves a Christian and does not have that desire, friends, I seriously doubt God the Holy Spirit has regenerated you. I seriously doubt God the Holy Spirit lives in you. And I know that sounds kind of bold and kind of rude, but look, that's what Scripture says. And I want to be faithful to share with you the word of the Lord. And as born-again believers, though we don't fear God's wrath, we want to live in submission to the will of God as revealed in the Word of God and do it all for the glory of God. This is our role in the process of sanctification. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. And then we see verse 13, God's role. For it is God's will who is at work in you, Christian, both to will and to work for His good pleasure. Well, what is His good pleasure? To conform you more and more into the image and likeness of Christ so your life can bring more and more glory to Christ? What is God's good pleasure? That the Holy Triune God is magnified and glorified in and through your life. That's God's good pleasure, right? And so, the fear of the Lord. As born-again believers, we no longer fear God's eternal wrath. We don't look at God as the Godfather. Rather, as born-again believers, we have a healthy, holy fear of the Lord. He's not buddy-buddy. He is other than us. He is infinite. We're finite. He is holy. We are not. He is perfect. We're imperfect. He is pure. We're impure. He is God. We are not. He is the Creator. We are the created. This idea of being cavalier and flippant when it comes to God, hello. You've heard me use the illustration of the seesaw, right? God's always up to the highest, right? And we're here, even as born-again believers. Now, that doesn't mean that we look at ourselves as being, you know, worthless. No, I mean, we're children of God. But our worth is not based on us. Our worth is based on Him, right? And the seesaw always needs to be where God is exalted and we're down low. And though we don't fear God's wrath anymore, we have such reverence for the holiness of God, for the majesty of God, for the purity of God. We have such reverence for who God is and how He is. We just want to worship Him. We want to adore Him. We want to submit to Him. We want to bring glory to Him, right? Hop over to Hebrews chapter 12. So again, as born-again believers, we don't fear God's wrath any longer. But as born-again believers, in the process of sanctification, we work out our salvation with fear and trembling. And we trust God to do His part in the process of sanctification, which He will do according to His good pleasure, to conform us into the image and likeness of Christ, all for the glory of Christ. Hebrews chapter 12. We read verses 28 and 29. Therefore, since we, Christians, receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude for God's amazing grace in saving wretched sinners like us. Let us show gratitude. This is an example of working out your salvation with fear and trembling. Let us show gratitude because we're part of a kingdom that lasts forever. God's glorious kingdom. A kingdom, by the way, that cannot be shaken. Regardless of what's happening in society today, God's eternal kingdom, which, by the way, Christian, you are a citizen of. Our citizenship is in heaven, right? You've been brought into a kingdom, God's kingdom, through Jesus Christ and the power of the Spirit. A kingdom that can never be shaken. you look around and you have presidents up, presidents taken down. You've got this ideology up, that ideology down. You see monarchs up, monarchs down, and on and on and on. But the kingdom we're part of, God's glorious kingdom, cannot be shaken. Well, what should be our response? Flippant, cavalier, thanks, God. I'll check you out when I get to heaven. What? No. Let us show gratitude by which we may offer to God an acceptable service. How? With reverence and awe. Friends, as believers, that's called the fear. It's called the fear of the Lord. But it's a healthy, holy fear. Recognizing who God is, recognizing how God is, and recognizing what God has done for you and continues to do for you. Right? Let us show gratitude by which we may offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire. Think about the Israelites at the bottom of Mount Sinai when Moses was up there. Think about the fire. Think about the majesty. Remember, God said to the people, don't you come near this mountain. Even your animals can't. Otherwise, you're going to be consumed. What was God saying? I'm holy, you're not. I'm perfectly pure, you're not. They were to show reverence and awe. And we are too, as well as Christians, right? Again, it's a healthy, holy fear. Hop over to Isaiah. Let me give you one more. Isaiah 66. Christian, you want to be blessed by God? I mean, you've already been blessed, right? Free gift of salvation. But look what God says. God shows favor to a certain type of people. God starts out in Isaiah 66, starting in verse 1. Thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. You see his majesty? Where then is the house you could build for me? God is infinite. And where is a place that I may rest? As though God gets tired. No. God says in verse 2, my hand made all these things. He is the sovereign creator of all, right? He is the ruler. He is the redeemer. He is the consummator. My hand made all these things. Thus all these things came into being, declares the Lord. Now watch this. After the Lord describing his majesty, his transcendence, then God says at the end of verse 2, in spite of the fact that he is just infinite in his being in perfection, God says, but to this one, to this person I look, to this person I grant grace, I show favor to. You want favor from God? You want grace from God as a believer? God says, let me tell you the type of person I grant my grace to. We know God opposes the proud, right? James, 1 Peter, we read that. God gives grace to the humble. To this one I look, to him who is humble and contrite of spirit and who trembles at my word. Kind of sounds like the fear of the Lord, right? Yes. I am constantly studying God's holy word. And a lot of times after preaching, people in the church will come up to me and say, wow, Andrew, boy, that was hard hitting. Boy, that really convicted me. And my response is always the same. That's what God's word does. God's holy word should crush us, right? God's holy word is like a jackhammer that just breaks open our hardened hearts. Though we've been saved by grace alone, through faith alone in Christ alone, we still have the sin nature. And our sin nature still wants to exalt self. And so what does God do? In the power of his spirit, as we sit under his word, he just pulls out that jackhammer and crushes our hardened hearts. Why? So that we then can be recipients of his grace and favor. You see, when God crushes you through his holy word, you become humble and contrite. Suddenly, the seesaw is in the right position, right? God is exalted and we're low. And we realize that without God, we're nothing. We suddenly have awe and reverence, the fear of the Lord. We love the Lord. We depend upon the Lord. We don't demand things of the Lord. We are just so grateful for God's grace to us. And God says, let me tell you the person I grant my grace to. A person who's humble and contrite in spirit and who trembles at my word. Not trembling because we're afraid of God's wrath, but rather trembling because we realize the holiness of God, the majesty of God, the greatness and glory of God. And when we read hard-hitting truths in the scriptures which come to us from God, we don't argue with God. We don't ignore God. We submit to God. And we say, God, have your way in and through me. Because God, no matter how painful this is, I know that you are perfect in your ways and that you are transforming me more and more into the image and likeness of Christ. The Holy Spirit in me testifies to me that I'm a child of God. God, have your way in me. And whatever you see, God, when it comes to the hardness of my heart, just crush it. Because, Lord, once my heart is softened, then I can receive your grace, your mercy, your compassion, your love, so that I can worship you and adore you and revere you even more. Amen.
This has been Hot Topics with Dr. Andrew Vuksic. The views and opinions were those of the hosts and guests, and not necessarily those of GraceNet Radio or any of its staff, management, or affiliations. You can email Pastor Vuksic directly at pastorandrew@aol.com. Join us Sundays at 9 a.m. and 3 p.m. Eastern Time in the USA, or 3 p.m. and 9 p.m. in Croatia for Hot Topics, only on GraceNetRadio.com.